Welcome to Durst Notes on Divorce Law with Robert J. Durst, shareholder and chair of Stark & Stark's Divorce Law Group. The Durst Notes podcast series is designed to give you an overview of the several most common areas of divorce law, enabling you to better understand your divorce and the law.
Hello, my name is Robert J. Durst. I am a shareholder in the law firm of Stark & Stark, and this is the fourth installment of Durst Notes on Divorce Law. Today, we will discuss the payment of college expenses for a child. You will remember that in installment number 2 and 3, we discussed child support and emancipation. This topic differs slightly from each of those, but is dependent upon the two of them. If a child is legitimately pursuing their college or post-secondary education, they may not be emancipated, and child support, although in a reduced amount, may continue to be paid by one parent to the other. The question which we are discussing today, however, is whether one or both of the parents should be obligated to contribute to the educational or college expenses themselves. That question is separate and apart from whether or not the parent is required to continue to pay support for the child. It is entirely possible, and in fact probable, that a parent may have to pay both a reduced amount of child support and a contribution to the educational expenses. Whether or not either parent is responsible for the payment of college expenses and the amount of their contribution depends upon a variety of factors. Those factors have been recognized by the Supreme Court in New Jersey for over 25 years and have now been made a part of our statutory law. In Pennsylvania, they have only recently been recognized, and the law is not quite as clear as it is in New Jersey. However, those factors include whether or not there is an expectation that the parent would have contributed toward the educational expense if they were still living together and not divorced, the background and goals of the parents themselves, the child's reasonable expectation of higher education, the amount of the contribution being sought, the ability of the parent to pay the amount being sought, the assets and income of each of the parties, the commitment of the child to the educational experience, any financial resources of the child themselves, the ability of the child to earn an income and contribute to the expenses, the availability of financial aid, loans, or scholarship, and lastly, but often very important, the relationship of the child to the paying parent. It is often said that a child cannot simply look to his parent as a wallet for educational expenses. If the child has not involved the parent in the choice of colleges, has not shared with the parent their goals and aspirations with regard to education, the child may find that the parent has a limited responsibility for the expenses. On the other hand, the fact that the parent may have withdrawn from those decision-making or discretionary educational decisions has no bearing whatsoever. A parent cannot absolve themselves of the responsibility for a child's educational expenses by simply refusing to become involved in the decision-making process. Assuming that a determination is made that one or both of the parents should contribute to the child's educational expenses, the question often becomes, what is the ratio or percentage of their respective contribution? A common and common sense solution is to simply divide the parents' responsibilities in proportion to their respective income and assets. If the parents have reasonably equal earning capacities and reasonably equal asset base, they should probably equally share in the child's expenses. On the other hand, if one of the parents is in a superior economic position, either asset-wise or income-wise, they should probably pay a higher percentage. If at all possible, you will do your child an enormous favor, and in turn yourselves a large favor, by negotiating and resolving the amount of child support and the allocation of educational expenses at the time of the divorce. Very often, this is an issue that people like to avoid. They do not define it in their divorce agreement, and they put it off until the time that the child attends college. That is, at best, very difficult to handle if the parent begins to apply for admission to colleges. It is impossible for the child to select a college. It is impossible to meet the decision-making deadlines for the college. And it is impossible for the child to know how much money they will have from their parents to attend college if it is left to the last minute. The court system will not work quickly enough to resolve those issues for you, and your child may miss a semester or even a year of college if you put the decision off, disagree at the time, and force it into litigation on the eve of the child's attendance at college. These are not difficult issues. They are simply issues which must be addressed at the time of the divorce, and issues in which you will save yourself much anguish, heartache, and future expenses if you take the time to do so.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's installment of the Divorce Law Podcast, and be sure to join us next week for another informative discussion with Robert Durst. Stark & Stark is a full-service law firm with offices throughout New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York. For more information on the services the firm provides, visit us online at stark-stark.com.